Turn your Bibles to the last letter that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy. And not necessarily in chronological order, in order by the size. But Paul, right before he was killed, wrote 2 Timothy, the pastoral epistle. Turn to chapter 4. If you would stand for the reading of the word. We're going to read verses 9 through verses 18. And we're going to call this message Lessons About Loneliness. Lessons About Loneliness. Hear the word of the Lord. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful for me for ministry. Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at Carpus at Troas, and also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. My first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me and not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, please show yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Loneliness is something that grips us all at times. Sometimes, ironically, when we're surrounded by people. But no one seems to understand or able to help, and it just seems like some people just don't even want to help, or nobody wants to help. Sometimes just staying busy doesn't seem to help. Sometimes we feel lonely and frustrated because we've been limited by situations that we can't get out of. There's nothing we can do. It wasn't our fault. Yet, there we are. Everybody saying, don't be lonely, don't be lonely. And you're like, I'm lonely. We feel abandoned. We feel deserted. We feel like no one wants to be around us. Hello, anybody? We feel like a loser. We feel lonely. People tell us we shouldn't feel lonely. And look, you have people all around you. You don't have to feel lonely. It's a sin for you to feel lonely. But there's many different types of loneliness. And you can have a good life, a happy marriage, a good job, stable, be in a good church, and really, you know, be happy. But still, the pain of loneliness can creep up on you and keep you feeling a deep depression, even when things seem to be good on the outside, even when you have every reason to not feel lonely, and yet you still feel lonely. There's something going on. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You have a heart hunger, a strange sense of loneliness that no one seems to be able to fill. Unfortunately, we're in danger of filling that loneliness with sinful stuff. We try to fill it up with anything and everything, but nothing seems to help our heart stay full. Loneliness is a very dangerous place, but I want to tell you a surprising truth. Are you ready? We can have loneliness and also have godliness. Let me say that again. I know it's a surprising truth. And I know other people beat you up about it. And there are sometimes you shouldn't be doing some of the things you're doing because you feel lonely. But you can have loneliness and still have godliness. You can have loneliness and still have godliness. Now, I understand you may not feel as if I can speak to you about your situation very well. Well, you have a beautiful wife. You have children, grandchildren, and you've got a good job, and people here love you, and it's a wonderful church, and your family's intact, and this and that, and you have health, and you're so good looking, and whatever. So people say, well, you don't know. I've been waiting 18 months. I've been waiting 20 years. You don't know what it's like to lose a child. First of all, you don't know that. Let me say something. God's word can speak to you. Let me just tell you, I feel the pain of loneliness more than you may realize. Being a pastor can be, ironically, a very lonely way of life. Again, you can have a great wife, great relationship, great things like that, and this idea of loneliness can just jump on you. Because, you know, you're always around people, and you're praying with people, and counseling people, comforting people, and yet it can be a very lonely place. And we get close to people, we share God's word with them, we disciple them, we love them. And like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:14, I seek not what is yours but you. Or in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You say, I'm only here a few times and things like that, but I remember your name. I baptize your children. I love you. I care what's going on. I care what's going on. So we give people our hearts. You know how it is in ministry. You give people your heart. You got people all around. So how can it be that a people person, you got to be a people person. You got to have a guilty conscience. You got to be a mama's boy. You've got to do it above everything else, and you got to be a people person. Otherwise, you can't be a pastor. But if you're those things, but even when you're ministering, you're doing all this, you're pouring your heart out, and people are responding, it's good, it's great, it's awesome. How can a person like me get lonely? Well, again, I'm going to be very personal, and I don't really want this to be about me, okay? But I want you to see that I can easily identify with those feelings of loneliness and rejection and pain that you have. As you know, it can feel very lonely when no one seems to be able to share some of the sorrows that you have. Or at least you feel that way. You see, people, they leave the church. And they say they aren't mad at you, but you know right well that they're offended at you. When they ought not to be. And you just want to knock them over the head and say, you're wrong doctrinally, you're wrong practically, sit down, shut up, and learn. And then you do that, and, you know, probably they should have ran if you did that. And they're offended, they ought not to be, and everybody else wants to be their friend, and you know, it's like you see them out, and you want to be their friend, and it's just so awkward. And then, who's the enemy then? It's you. I know you know. Stinks, man. Stinks. Oh, hey, it's great, it's great. And you do mean it, you love them, but it's like, oh, I really wanted to go there. But then you charge in, man, you sit down with them, and you do it. You do it. I've been doing it. Sometimes people ought to be offended, and you can't make it up to them. You're learning on the job, man. Seminary don't teach you that, Pete. Can't. You know what the problem with the church is? People. But you're one of them. And I'm one of them. You know, they think you, and I tell people this, they get, you know, they start seeing a church that really preaches the word, and we do, as you know, and that really cares about people, and you guys know. And it's like, I don't want to tell them this, but I always feel like I got to tell them, look, I know I look like an angel now, but wait a couple months and I will look like the devil. Because when I find your sin, I'm going to stamp on it. As you know. Again, I'm an angel. Oh, he's the devil. And so as a pastor, you wonder if you're ever going to get this thing right. You know, what are you doing wrong? Well, look at that guy. He's growing the church. Yeah, but he doesn't offend anybody. The gospel offends people. You've got to preach for the conviction of sin. You know why? Because it brings the conversion of sinners. It brings the conforming to the image of Christ for saints. You know, and it brings the comfort of clinging to Christ, but you can't do number three without number one and two. And just selling to Jesus, oh, he just wants to comfort you and all that without you giving him a sin. You don't have real comfort, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like you have that, what, Dan's favorite illustration, the little chattering teeth. And you think, this is so cool. Ah, it's on me. And then, oh, you're okay, honey. And you're looking in their eyes and they're fine. But as soon as you stop looking, ah, it's hurt, you know. I know that maybe it's a bad illustration, but... That's the thing. You feel lonely. I'm the only one that got it. But you wonder if you're ever going to get this thing right. And every Monday, it's like, you know, it's over, man. And you say, this is an awesome church. Yeah, it is an awesome church. This is a growing church. Yeah, it's a growing church. This is a giving church. Yeah, it's a giving church. We got some serious elder power in this church. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got ladies. Oh, man, it's awesome. But you feel like you can't preach against sin without having a backdoor revival. And we've seen it happen, haven't we? Then you try to justify it with, well, see, because we're doing right. Ha ha. And then the devil beats you up there, and it's a mess. You feel lonely. No one understands. And then, oh boy, I'm going there. The associate pastor and all the ministers, oh yeah, I get it. No, you don't. Parachurch ministry, you don't get it. None of you get it, and that's the way I feel, and I'm truth. You know the pain's coming because you develop these relationships and you know from the very beginning that they mean to hurt you. That's just who they are. They're not stable. But we have to take folks like that. You know the pain's coming because you get attached to people who are going to die at that nursing home. You start going all the time, and I went every Sunday for 5 years sometimes, just me and Adelaide. Me, Adelaide, and Paul. You get to know these people and all that kind of stuff, and they're just full of Jesus, and they minister to you, and then they're gone, and it's like, you got to start all over again. That's why you minister. If you want to preach, you ain't ever going to preach unless you can preach at Diamond Ridge. Got to do it. You see, folks seem to get right with God. You know, they're right with God, man. And then they fall away after leaving the homeless shelter. Bing, bang, boom. 3 this week. Bang, bang, bang. 2 of them, man, were just, oh, we thought, yeah, baby. Sometimes they come back, I know. But if you think that don't hurt, and they're splashed all over the paper, and everybody's like, these people are such losers, this, that, and the other thing, and you just want to hold them, and they're like, oh, you guys don't even know human, oh, my goodness, and you're heartbroken. You see people that you thought were on fire for God shoot flaming arrows at your ministry. You don't preach the gospel. All we did was cover the Gospels last year. I just wrote a whole book on every passage in the Gospel. Well, I don't do that. I don't read books. Okay. And I think about them for years. Again, they're on fire for God. Now they're turning that fire on you. Friendly fire. All the while, oh boy, people who don't have a clue think they're being wise when they say, don't take it personally. You pour your heart out, and people drink it up and spit it back out at you. Yep. On and on it goes. I may not have to deal with some of the pain that you have to go through right now. You're in the middle of a divorce. You're in the middle of cancer. You're in the middle of this. You're in the middle of that. But just because I don't take it from a personal standpoint, okay, so I get 1/100th of it. Now multiplied by 200 people. Now what do I got? Imagine how it might feel at times. It's very lonely because no one really understands that. And as a pastor, you're supposed to be above showing yourself to be hurt emotionally, or they tell you, you can't let yourself appear to be too vulnerable. And oh, how Satan will use all this to tackle you and tempt you to compromise in some way. Maybe not with sin. When you get over that and you start winning those battles, and he knows that's not going to work, but with taking it easy instead of giving it all you got. I mean, oh boy, I'm just going there. I'm not mad at mega churches and all that. John MacArthur, John Piper, some people that I love, big churches and awesome ministers and all that. But I know me in my heart, well, I would want a mega church, which we're not going to be. We're in the middle of nowhere. If we had everybody in the county, you know what I'm saying? Everybody in this part of the corner. But sometimes I think guys want a big church. Why? So they don't have to deal with people. Like I told you, if we get 200 people and believe, you know, well, we're going to have to split. We're going to have to do things, get more people. I don't know. Point is, people don't want to deal with people because, you know, it's hard to do. But you know what? You battle through that anyway, and you go ahead and give it all you got, only for people to rip your heart out anyway. And you knew from the start they were going to do it. And I say, Margie, we're trying to do this, but this guy's bringing in his pet. He's doing this. He left that church because of this. He's going to do the same thing now as soon as he gets this, you know. So nobody here. Don't think that. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you wanted to say something to you, help correct him and all that, and you just didn't do it because you don't want to be a meanie because you're known as a meanie. You're the county's meanie preacher. Go there. They're the ones that are meanie. And it's like, no, dude, you can't do this. And it's like, okay, he's not listening. Oh, there it comes. Yeah. You don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow, folks. Still, you're supposed to patch it up all together and give them your heart once again after they come back after a while. Being a pastor is painful and lonely. Now, hear me, okay? I'm done with that. I'm not complaining. I am happy even when I'm lonely. And when it seems like people don't understand or whatever, you know, I still got good stuff, and I'm going to give it to you out of this text. We're going to talk about why as I go along. What I want you to understand is that every person has to deal with loneliness at times. I'm with you, is what I'm trying to say, and I'm learning to receive the comfort of God's word in a way that I want to share with you. You can be lonely and still be godly. You can have people not understand you, and you don't have to go into a tailspin yet again. And then feel mad and bad and sad and not glad because you know that's what we're going to say to you. But you might as well just take the medicine. So I want to talk about the reality of loneliness and how certain things contribute to it. And some of these things are things we cannot avoid. But then I also want to talk to you about things we need to keep doing anyway. This message is going to surprise you if it hasn't already. Learning the lessons of loneliness and processing the pain with the proper perspective, remaining a godly person with a godly focus, okay? First thing I want you to see is the reality of suffering. It's real. We know that. Suffering leads to loneliness. There's no question about it. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter from a jail cell at the end of his life, knowing he's soon going to die a martyr's death. In verse 6, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." Here he is in a jail cell, knowing he's going to die. He spent his entire Christian life planting churches, ordaining elders, doing miracles, being full of the Spirit, shepherding countless people, and he suffered all kinds of hardships and persecutions, imprisonments, and beatings because of his relationship to Christ. Here he is at the end of his life. And where were all the people who sat under his preaching and teaching? Where were they? Dude! Now, Paul was not, and I am not, berating these people and just asking for personal attention. Don't come up afterwards, "Oh, pastor, I got the comfort I need. I'm trying to give it to you. I'm trying to let you see that you can feel really lonely." And say, but you're, I'm talking about a spouse. Lonely is lonely. Let God minister to you. He wasn't just asking for personal attention. He wasn't trying to berate the people. Because some of the people he sent, you know, that didn't make it hurt any worse. You know, people got this vacation, that thing, and this thing, and that thing, and all that, and I'm here holding the bag, and I feel so lonely. I want to see you every single week. And when you're not going to be here, I want you to tell me. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to say, "Yay, good, you have fun. Pray for me." We have so many more people than we have empty chairs right now. You would not believe it if I counted it. You won't believe how many people. If we were at Southern Baptist Convention, I don't mean to bark on them. But you know what I'm saying? You'd be surprised at what the number of people that actually come to this church. When they come to church, this is what the church they come to. You'd be surprised at the number. You can't get that on sermon audio. Some things we just can't avoid. You know, it's the other person's fault. Some things we can't avoid. We had to have them go do this thing. We're in a position where we're limited. We feel lonely. People just don't understand me. Every teenager in here needs to say, "Amen." Disaffected teenager. Try to give them your love. Try to give them that. And they're just like, "Huh." And I'm like, "I know that I have charisma. So don't you do that. I know, you know, okay. I'm 50 and you're 15 or whatever, but come on." But I also want to talk about things we need to keep doing anyway. In the midst of this, that's what we need to get to. Learning to process the lessons of loneliness. And processing the pain with a proper perspective. Remaining a godly person with a godly focus. Again, here's Paul, and he's just sitting there. And he'd been in jail before, but here he is. And the mission's accomplished. God has him winding down. Sometimes he does that to us. You know, we can be 60 and getting close to 70 and be as on fire as we ever were. And what if God gives you a stroke and you think, "Well, I guess my life is over." And then he makes you live 20 more years. "I'm Mr. Lonely. I've got nobody." Oh, my. It seems like a lonely ending for Paul here. Think about it. I can't paint the picture well enough. I'm not a good enough speaker. But just imagine this. Imagine this. This prison here, and you know, and you say, "Well, this is Paul, this is you, bro, lady." All right? Let me keep going here. We're going to take all day. Sometimes God's care for his children includes many things they would rather not go through. But Christianity isn't true because it works. That's pragmatism. It's not true because it feels right. That's subjectivism. It's not true because it's my truth. That's relativism. It's true because it's anchored in the person of Christ. And we're all called to know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. It says so in the book of Philippians 3. It's God's way of rooting out the idolatry in us. But suffering can make you feel very lonely, and it's a reality. Okay, this next thing we want to look at is the reality of sin. The reality of sin. Look at verse 10 in the first part. Is anybody with me? I'm with you. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. You see good reports about Demas in Colossians 4:14, Philemon 1:24. It hurts when someone who is faithful falls away. Oh, they just call it jumping churches. And sometimes that is true. Sometimes, you know, that's okay. It's fine. But sometimes, you know, they're just running away because they didn't want to get church discipline. Because we do that, in case you don't know. It's ought to be a wake-up call about sin and a warning about staying plugged in. Dudes, stay plugged in. I have to stay plugged. I had to become a pastor. I told one of the guys that is just off doing his own thing this week, last Sunday night, I said, you need to stay with it. I'm going to move in with this other guy. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. That's good. That's cool. And he's cool too. But together, two of you are not strong enough together. You need to stay plugged in. I need to see you every time the doors are open, because the fact is, I have to do it. And I'm years away from that. And I'm reading the word. I mean, you know, whatever. I don't have to brag on me. The point is you need to stay plugged in. This ought to be a warning. Demas was right there with Paul, saw the miracles, probably did some, did all these wonderful things, and it says he's in love with the present world. He deserted me. See, people want to find God as a means to an end, not as the end in himself. See, the reality of other people's sin means they separate from you, and then, you know, you're lonely. It's like, I wish that, and then you think, well, I'm going to compromise. No, it's okay. You can do that. You can smoke around me. You can do this around me. That. Don't get mad at me. Whatever. Just trying to make illustrations. Don't make me feel lonely. People are looking for what works, what they like, and not looking for what glorifies God. It takes a while. You got to stay plugged in. I know you don't feel like it, but do it anyway. To the natural mind, the way of destruction looks good and tastes delicious. But the way to life looks gross and it tastes lousy. People aren't looking for Repentance Road. They're looking for Satisfaction Streets. Walking around the road of true repentance means that it will be narrow and hard, narrow and hard. If you follow a certain path, there comes a certain point when certain people won't follow along. Sin will separate you from some people if you continue to walk in the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's tough, man. And you're like, all you can do is be consistent and stay there and wait for them and do what you got to do. But the reality is, what's Paul going to do? Go chase Demas around? He's in jail. He can't do it. See, sometimes you leave, you can't even do it. You go try to find your brother, you can't do it.
That's right.
And what do you feel? Oh, the word begins with an L. Because you do love them. You don't want to see them go to hell. And even if they're saved and not going to hell, you don't want to see them not glorifying God.
That's right.
And held in court with Jesus every week and being miserable because they're called by God and yet they're not doing it. And they wonder why. Oh, I don't have to be in church. The reason you're miserable is because you're not.
Yeah.
There's certain things you can't do and certain people you can't associate with in certain ways if you're going to get on with God and stop acting like the world.
Right.
Comes a time when the reality of sin leads to loneliness. Reality of suffering, reality of sin. Let's look at the second part of verse 10 and verse 12. The reality of situations. Yeah, your husband went off to war. You're going to feel lonely. What are you going to do? They left you for another person. What are you going to do? I mean, you know, it makes you feel lonely. Yeah, I get that. Verse 10, he says, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus Dalmatia. Verse 12, Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. Temporal, transient relationships are the reality of life. We can be busy, we can move on to do other things, but that doesn't mean we don't still love others we've shared God's love with. God calls people to different times and seasons and places. And we're to make close relationships, and sometimes we have to separate for good, at least for a while, even if God was in it. That person may be a type of the one and still may not be the one, you know? We should long for loving personal relationships, and we do get involved with real loving relationships and many others along the way. It's hard to read. Some we stay in very close contact with, and some you just seem to drift from. But that doesn't mean it's not real or that we don't love them. I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm sure. Remember, you may not have a daily life or church life or work life or ministry life or family life or sporting or recreational life in common anymore, but you still have a Jesus life in common. You can celebrate it when you see him. Send him a little letter. Still, don't you miss people? You know, it's like some of the kids, and they get to be 20s and 30s, and it's like, I just want to find jobs for them and everything because I don't want them to ever leave. So you pour your heart into them and everything like that, and you want them to move on and do what they need to do. And yet you kind of don't want them to do that. It's hard. And we can react real funny. I remember the first time I'm going to tell. First time I came home from UCF, I went to college orientation, and I came home, and I was all happy and all that, and my mom got all mad at me. And years later, we realized, well, it's just because she was, here comes the break. Little boy's going to move out, you know, to the big city and all that. We don't know how to react. That's nobody here ever. Come on. It gets lonely when we lose something good. Sometimes God calls us to do that, and then we think we must have done something wrong. No, we feel lonely. Here we go. Reality of feeling slighted. Look at verse 11. I want you to see something here. And you probably won't see it, and I'm glad if you don't see it. But the lenses we're looking at things at help us see things. Anybody still with me?
Yes.
Stay awake or I'll feel lonely. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him. Get Mark. Luke's with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. Paul felt the pain. He told Timothy previously in the same letter, 2 Timothy 1:15, that everybody in Asia deserted him. Do you think it was really like that? Everybody's gone. There was nobody in church today. Well, we had 87. There's nobody here. Charity was here. Oh, no, nobody's here. Oh, just Charity. She was here. Yeah, that's it. Here's Luke being faithful, and apparently it's not enough for Paul, is it? Paul's seeking the help of someone who wasn't even as faithful as Luke had been. Remember, John Mark, the one God wrote the Gospel of Mark, he had left. You can find that in Acts 15, I think 36 through 40. He didn't come to the work, and Paul's like, yeah, you know, whatever. He split with Barnabas because of that, or Silas, and started going with Barnabas, or whatever. Paul, he left Barnabas and started going with Silas. And the point is that here he is saying, yeah, Luke's with me. Yeah, everybody's gone. Luke's with me. Yeah, but everybody's gone. Well, get Mark, man, because he's cool. So now I'm not taking it from Paul. Now I'm looking at Luke. Are you with me? We get into trouble when we seek approval from men instead of simply being faithful to the people God has placed in our life anyway, even when they seem to dismiss us and don't give us the approval or whatever we're looking for. You need to be happy about someone being restored to fellowship instead of saying or thinking something else. You know, it's like, okay, you've been here 5 years, you've been faithful, and you've been wanting to do something, someone just comes in, and I make the decision right or wrong to do this, that, and the other person, and I wasn't even thinking about you, and that's your problem. So imagine Luke here, and if he's going the wrong way, which he wasn't, by the way, but no wonder everyone leaves you, Paul, because you're such a jerk. Never heard that before. Or how could you call out Demas like that? He's been faithful for such a long time, and now everybody's going to always wonder, or they've already made up their minds about him because of the way you marked him. And I do things wrong. I call out things right in the middle and all that and embarrass people and all that, and it's like, oh, and then someone else did something 10 times worse, and you're like, see, come on, man. Who cares what I think? You ever thought, how dare you treat me that way? I thought you were a friend, but you treat me like chopped liver over here. Or forget them, you got me. Sometimes somebody very close to us can seem to make us feel lonely even when we know we're the only ones with them. Even when they know that we have been loyal. Even when we know they love us. When we feel slighted. Whether it's real or imagined, it's the fast track to feeling lonely. I'm telling you, it's a huge one for people. You feel slighted, and so you feel lonely. People don't understand who's helping you. See, imagine Luke doing this. Only Luke's with me. Yeah, we got Donna. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You know, yeah, okay. Yeah, Ted showed up. That's cool. All right. You know what I'm saying? You get my point? And then you're calling saying, are we still plugged in, man? And I'm like, Ted, we're fine. Leave me alone. You know, sometimes I know that people think I'm annoying. And I'm like, I can't say that out loud. You're being annoying right now. You know what I'm saying? And what do you do? It's people talking to each other. These are the people that let me live when they wouldn't. There was no place to live. You know? But we can feel slighted. We make the stuff up. And you can't always just smooth it over right now. You know, you can't do that. Because people will run. Yeah, Luke's with me. I remember one time, you know, people were doing something and it came on margin. I said, well, I'm glad it happened to you, not them. And boy, that took 4 days to unwind and find out what that was. We forgot what it was. She was just mad, and I was, you know, of course, I'm mad, and I'm the man, but submit. And so we literally walked around the house and tried to figure out what we were saying. I mean, literally. It's like, oh, and I said, I didn't mean it that way. I just know that you're mature and can handle it. She goes, but it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel that way. And husbands, we do it to our wives all the time. It's because they are loyal, not because they're not. But if you have the wrong kind of glasses on, you feel slighted, you can feel awful lonely and not know why. Are you with me? Ladies, come on. Everybody, close your eyes and raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. You got to keep a watch on your thought life. We can twist good things into bad things. The truth is that right here, Paul is not condemning Luke. He's commending Luke. Luke probably understood that. However, we might often take what is meant to be a commendation and feel like it is a condemnation. Yes. How subtle is the sense of feeling slighted? I wonder if instead of understanding that Paul was calling us loyal Luke, that instead we felt like lonely Luke. The reality of suffering, the reality of sin, the reality of situations, the reality of feeling slighted, hello, amen. The reality of Satan, before we get to some of these answers here. Look at verses 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, for he strongly opposed our message. There are going to be people who are just going to oppose your ministry. People who Satan stirs up to come against you in your relationships just because. Haven't you ever met someone who just didn't like you? Or someone who seems to be against everything you do, sometimes for no reason? Like you have this mortal enemy. Dun, dun, and they don't even know it, I guess. I don't know. A lot of people begin by acting humble, but then they become hostile. You give them your heart and everything like that, and then it's smack-a-rooney, baby. I could say, or they leave their cell phone on, but I didn't. Oh, wait, maybe I did. You know, sometimes people, in effect, what they're saying is, even though they're clueless about what to do, and they know you have some truth, it hurts so much when they say, basically, I won't allow you to teach me the truth. And then you feel slighted because you wrote something and it was top-notch and everything like that. Someone else takes it and they're learning and they start teaching it and it just ticks you off. It doesn't really, but you know what I'm saying? You got to learn to get around that. You got to learn to if you want people to develop or you don't want them to develop. If you can't teach a thing and other people can't teach it because you taught it, what good is it? But I want the credit. It was me. Right? Doesn't that happen? And then Satan gets in and says, oh, this, that, and the other thing. And the object of someone saying, you know, this thing is really working out. This is good. And instead of feeling like, all right, he's learning, they're learning, this is wonderful, it feels like, man, come on. Come to Wednesday night instead. You know what I'm saying? Satan never works that way with other people. If you guys aren't learning enough. Mm-hmm. He'll use other people who mean no harm and mean well, and yet you've got these lonely glasses on. Because you're seeking approval where you don't need to be seeking approval, and then it sounds like it's condemnation instead of commendation. And all they're trying to do is say, this is awesome. You should be like, yay! Mark is back, yay! Dan's doing good, yay! I can leave the church and go away, and other people can teach, and I don't have to worry about it, yay! Except for the dinner afterwards. We need to get that right, by the way. We got to make sure. Well, anyway, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to see. He said he strongly opposed our message. Our message. He didn't mean Paul's message. He meant Paul and Timothy's message. Our message. This common thing, the gospel. It's our message too. And you know, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you know, you're trying to bring the message, you're going to suffer persecution. And sometimes it's going to be the people that don't even know they're doing it to you, and you're just making it happen to yourself. But things are going to happen. God's going to sanctify you through pain, through suffering, and through growing and learning and lots of things. But I got to tell you, you know, Jesus said many times, I'll give you an example, John 15, 18 through 21. When people are attacking you, you feel like they're attacking you, they're attacking Jesus. The reality is that Satan doesn't like God's children, and he wants to keep them down through imagined slight, right? Through the misguiding of the leadership or whatever, right? Through suffering and things like that. But God's trying to do something else through that. Now let's beat up on the devil a little bit. How about that? So we've seen the reality and some of the reasons for loneliness. I've probably gotten everybody, right? I know it's a negative, but say amen. Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about the lessons we need to learn and to live if we're going to deal with loneliness in a godly way. Number one, let's just go right through the text. Verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. Keep asking for help. I need you ASAP. Look, do your best to come to me soon. You know, we can ask for help, but do we stress the importance or at least our perception of it to other people? You can't simply leave a message and say, yeah, I'll talk to you later when you need someone now. I tell people this all the time. I told people this week, and I tell you, and if you haven't heard this yet, let me tell you now. Are you listening? When you call and it's a 10, say it's a 10, drop everything, come now. Or it's a 2, you know, I'm just feeling a little annoyed and all that. Call me back whenever. I know you're going to say 2 and all that. But be honest, just say that. I know, you know, please make it more than a couple hours. Don't, please. I'm in the hospital. I really don't want anybody to see me, but really, you probably should, you know, so I'll be in there for a couple days, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Keep asking for help. You know I told you about this, and I'm gonna call Amy, and I'll call Desmond, I'll call this, I'll call that. You know, I need help. Let them know just how distressed you feel and how much you'd like their response to be speedy, and don't give up. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Oh, you know, okay, we're going to go to the night of prayer, and we went to the auditorium, and nobody's there. And then we're like, okay, woohoo, we get off. It's free Wednesday. No, just go a little bit further. Oh, yeah, there's that pavilion. Okay, we'll be there. You got to keep at it, man. Yeah, it's kind of true. Yeah. Keep asking for help. Look at verse 13. This isn't helping me receive. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all the parchments. Be specific. Sometimes we can't explain things, but we can ask for things we think might help, or at least will give us some hope. I'd really like chocolate ice cream right now. Test it, man. At least have it, make a joke about it, do something. Ryan! I'd like you to stay awake. That'd help me. It's cool. I'm not mad, you know. What's going to help you? Yeah, Dean's paying attention. He's like looking at it. Like, that's helping me. Yeah. Chris, if you talk to me afterwards and we got things to talk about, that'll help me. Be honest. Be very specific. He said, look, I want this. I want this. I want this. He's about to die. He said, bring me a winter coat. He don't need it. They won't let him wear it. It's perfectly fine to tell someone that you just need someone to listen to as you sort your feelings out about an issue or an event. Look, don't say anything, especially to me. You need to say that. Don't interrupt or anything like that. I just need to get this out. And I really don't want any feedback right now. I just want to sound it out loud and ponder it some more. And then don't pray for me now. You can pray for me later or when you leave, get off the phone, and I'll get back with you when I feel like I want some counsel. What's wrong with saying that? And nothing wrong with saying that. Paul wanted to read the Word of God, by the way. He goes, especially apartments, Connie. He said, especially apartments. He was thinking maybe he's going to write some more. He wasn't. He's really close to dying here. He wants to read the Word of God more, write more letters. Staying in the Word's a good thing to do no matter what you may be feeling like. Let me just say it this way. Let others help you. Oh, but they're going to, you know, so? They're going to feel the pain. You're going to annoy them. And what? I'm this big tough boy or girl. No, you're acting weak, and you're going to be even weaker, and then you're going to have to accept help from people. Get it now. Okay. Keep asking for help. Be specific. Verse number 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Look what it says. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds because I will go with a sword and cut his head off. No. Number 3 here, give it to God. Give it to God. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Sometimes people are trying to make you lonely and they're doing a good job. Sometimes people make us feel uninvited. You know, oh, it's our third birthday party. Well, where we didn't get invited? What? Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, what about us? Oh, well, we don't matter. We wouldn't come anyway. We had stuff to do, you know. And then you find out, well, no, you didn't invite all these people. Well, there's 100 people, 2 people, you know, and everybody has their little Christmas parties and their little cliques and all that. Well, what about us, you know? Well, the pastor's there. We can't. I cut up more than you do, believe me. Yeah. Spoken like someone who knows. The point is that if you take it in like that, instead of just saying, look, they're having a great thing, wonderful, yay, and we went to Reagan's party, but we didn't go to Nevaeh's party. Oh, they're so mean. They don't like these people, and they do like these people. He doesn't approve of what you're doing. No, it's not like that. Situation just happened. You know what I'm saying? But if someone is really trying to just be out and out against you, like Alexander the Coppersmith that was doing this here, and there's out and out hostility. Again, sometimes there's a difference between attacking you personally and attacking the message. And Paul wasn't taking it personal, even though it was. And I know I talked about taking it personal, but sometimes I ought not to. And in either event, you give it to God. Sometimes people are going to oppose you for what they think you're standing for. I just don't want to go there because they're going to preach all over me. I'm like, you know, and don't preach about marijuana. I'm not there. What are you talking about? Don't preach about this. Don't preach about that. You know, first of all, don't tell me not to preach because that's my life. Don't preach at me. Too bad. Yeah, exactly. But sometimes people are just imagining, and you're imagining what they think they're mad about, what you're standing for, or something like that, you know, and just give it to God. If they're really going against you, God's going to repay. Leave room for God to do that. And pray that they change. Sometimes people just, they just know that you misunderstand or you misunderstand them. Sometimes they understand perfectly well, but you still give it to God. Don't let bitterness make you hard-hearted, because that's a lonely place indeed. Bitterness, you don't give it to God. Leads to the next point. Look at verse 15. Look at the beginning of it. What does Paul say? Beware of him yourself. Don't shut down. I could shut down the message right there. Don't shut down. Paul was still busy exhorting people. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean you can't help others in their something. I'll just leave it at that. Look at verse 16. At my first, and let me just read it. And Paul probably wasn't like this, but let me read it as JD would probably be feeling it. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but everybody deserted me. May it not be charged against them. See, he's telling Timothy that, but Timothy wasn't there, but it's because he didn't know about it. Others may not have been able to get there, and you know what? Some people did abandon Paul or didn't care enough. That happens in our lives. You wish more people would visit you. You wish this would happen. You wish that would happen, but you haven't said anything about it, or they just haven't been able to do it. And sometimes they even just meant to, they knew that you were supposed to tell everybody, and they didn't tell everybody because they didn't want anybody else to know, because they were mad at you. Oh, that's never happened either. This is great. We have the greatest church in the world. Still, Paul knew that he needed to forgive people from his heart, even if he never saw them again. Forgive people from your heart, folks. If they come and repent and all that, then you have that. You practice that forgiveness. But you got to go to them. But sometimes you can't. And you know, he's in prison. What's he going to do? Everybody deserted me. May the Lord not charge it to them. Have a forgiving heart. Let's go through these again. Keep asking for help. Be specific. Give it to God. Don't shut down. Have a forgiving heart. If you don't have one, develop one. Forgiven people become forgiving people. Look at verse 17. There's only 18 verses we're looking at, or through 18, so are you with me? Verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. He's not really talking about the beasts in Ephesus like that. He's talking about Satan's out to get him. And he had him in prison over and over again. But he stays surrendered. That's the next point. Stay surrendered. Look what happened. He says, oh yeah, I got the mission done. I kept the faith. I ran the race. I preached the gospel fully to all the Gentile people. Everybody in Asia left, but not until he preached to them. If you will stay surrendered, then the Lord will fulfill his will in your life. Let me say this. Are you listening? Somebody say amen. Everybody say amen. Thank you. When you feel abandoned by people, you need to abandon yourself to God. The Lord stood by me. Keep asking for help. Be specific. Give it to God. Don't shut down. Have a forgiving heart. Stay surrendered. Verse 18. The Lord will rescue me. Wait a minute. How's he saying that? He's about to die. Was he not telling the truth? The Lord will rescue me. See, he's a word faith guy, and it didn't work. His proclamation didn't become true. He didn't know the secret. He didn't give enough. He didn't love enough. What's going on here? That junk is garbage. Garbage. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Biggest point, get the big picture. Of course, this is the one we want to dismiss. Yeah, I already know that I'm going to heaven and we'll all be happy together and I will never feel lonely and I'm going to become God's inheritance and he's going to be my inheritance and this is going to be wonderful and all that yada, 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 yada. You need to talk to me. You need to keep you. Ooh. You got to remind yourself of that every day. It's vitally important. You need to develop the proper perspective. Get the big picture. Living for today by having an eye for tomorrow. There's a reason why I say that all the time and put it in all my stuff, because that's why you got to do it. That's always Paul's motivation in bad times. This too will pass. Psalm 27:10 says, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Hebrews 13:5 and 6 says, you know, don't be concerned with the love of money. Don't worry about who can hurt you, because the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And we just dismiss that. Say, yeah, I know that. I know that. Well, until you really, really feel like that, he's going to make you have to feel that. Sometimes the Lord's all we want when we know he's all we have. Are you hearing me? Yes. We're just about to finish. Hang on. Think about those three men going to the fiery furnace in Daniel 3. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord's going to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, he's still going to deliver us out of your hand. In other words, they're going to be, and I did a sermon on this text years ago called Delivered by Death. You know, the Lord does give us one another for encouragement. But people often flee us when we're going through tough times. Don't be mad at them. Don't lay it at their charge. Forgive them. Have a forgiving heart. Be willing to accept them. Pray that they'll change. Let them know. And be specific. And if you have to rebuke and, you know, confront, then do it. You got to remind yourself daily that the Lord is the main source of comfort and joy and hope in your life. Folks, loneliness is a reality in this life. But that's no reason to be godless. It's all the more reason we need to be godly. You can be suffering through loneliness and still be growing in godliness. And if you don't believe that, that just shows you how far you need to go. It's the path of pain that can lead us to be filled with the Spirit. An unsaved person can't even understand that. But a true Christian can truly experience the all-consuming comfort of Christ. Heavenly Father, the truth is that, like that old pop song says, I created my own prison. But Lord, sometimes other people put us in. Sometimes situations put us there. Sometimes you're putting us there because you want us to learn some stuff. So help us to learn those things, Lord. Help us to know that we can be lonely and still be godly. We have examples and we have our Lord Christ. Help us to look to him for his glory. And in his name we pray. Amen.